The sermon title today is, What is the Truth? Turn with me to John 14, verse 1. We read this scripture in CE this morning in faith school, so we'll share it with you again today. John chapter 14, verse 1. You know, on some Sundays that you don't come to church, you need to stop and think about just for a moment through the Holy Spirit and say, why am I staying out of church today? Because sometimes the adversary wants to keep you out of church. And I believe that this message today, I feel God's anointing and I feel His touch, and I feel that it's a sermon that probably everyone needs to hear, not that any of them aren't, but sometimes just think in your own mind, in your own heart, why am I staying out of church today? Can I get there? Can I make it there? What has God got for me at church when I get there today? Everybody should come to church with an expectation that they are going to receive something from the Lord. Amen? John chapter 14, I better get there. Verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thomas, you can take what I just told you to the bank. In verse 6, I am the way back to a right relationship with your heavenly Father. I'm your boarding pass to heaven. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. As you've heard me say many times, there is only existence. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he came that we might have life and that we might have it what? More abundantly. But he doesn't just offer true life on earth, but also eternal life. And how do we know this to be true? Because Jesus just doesn't know the truth or know the truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. You and I know this to be true, that today I'm singing to the choir. But we live in a world where people believe that truth is relative. And I can take you back 35 years ago when my kids were in grade school, and I remember them bringing papers home at that time, and those papers were teaching them and sharing with them about what they were being taught, that teaching was of truth being relative. And relative means what? That truth depends upon the situation. So your truth may not be my truth. Example, 3 weeks ago, I saw somebody in an airport. I can't even tell you where the airport was, but it was on the news. And the guy decides he's going to take off in a golf cart. That truth to him was, I needed that golf cart more than anybody else, so I can just get in the golf cart that belongs to the airport to help the elderly or help those that need help, but I'm going to take that for myself and I'm going to drive it wherever I want it. I guess he needed it more, and that truth was relative to him, that it belonged to him to use. We look at our judicial system. Prior court cases is what our judges used to run from. They'd go back to court cases 50, 60, 70 years ago. Well, this is what people have done. This is what needs to take place in this situation. But now we don't see that happening, do we? In the court systems today, you don't know what's going to happen when you come out of that court system. Why? It's because truth is relative. It depends upon the situation. In other words, there are no absolutes. That's what I'm getting to. It depends on the situation, that day, and how it affects me. And do you see Satan's handprint on all of this? If there are no absolutes, then you can believe what you want, and I will believe what I want, and we will get along fine. Try that with an all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present God. It doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. Our faith is an absolute. Our salvation is an absolute. The Word of God is an absolute. Do you believe that the Word of God is an absolute? Do you believe and trust the Word of God, knowing that the things that are written to us are for each and every one of us, and we as faith-believing people can stand on the Word of God, believe on the Word of God, and no matter what our minds sometimes tell us, I don't know if I accept that or not, it does not matter because the Word of God is an absolute. Jesus says this world will pass away, but my Word will never pass away. You and I can stand on the Word of God. We serve an unchanging, unmovable God in our lives today. Philippians 2:12 says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Our God is a consuming fire. My truth, your truth, needs to line up with God's truth and not your own. Amen. Now let me tell you about another absolute that I really want us to focus on today. Jesus' ministry to the church, to the body of Christ, is an absolute. Let me read that to you again. Jesus' ministry to the church and to the body of Christ is an absolute. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts 1, verse 1. In Acts 1, verse 1, it says, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. You see, the work when Jesus was on this earth was just the beginning of the work that Jesus would do. And that he would continue that work through each and every one of us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. His work was not complete when he left, even though he had a completed work of sin, that he defeated sin. And because he defeated it, we can defeat it. Because he has eternal life, we can have eternal life. He says, Father, it is finished. His work was finished on the cross, but the work of salvation, the work of deliverance, the work of healing is still going on through the church today through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is an absolute. It is an absolute. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, to the very ends of the earth. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His ministry does not change, and his ministry has not changed. It is the same today as it was when Jesus walked this earth, but he's doing it through the church, and he's doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the fourfold ministry of Christ. Now, let me ask you, do you believe in the fourfold ministry of Christ? And you say, well, what is the fourfold ministry of Christ? Number one, that he is our Savior. Do you believe that today? That he is our healer. That he is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he is our returning King. In all of those things, when we talk about the fourfold ministry of Christ, those things are still active, still real. Nothing has changed because the book of Acts has not closed the cover yet. And it will not close the cover until we leave this earth and the work of the church is done. These are absolutes. And we need to fix them in our mind that they are absolutes. Now, let me tell you, as long as I'm standing in the pulpit as Crossroads Gospel Church, these absolutes will be taught, they will be preached, and they will be promoted. And every one of us should say amen, because that's what we want to go on in our church. But let me ask you, which ones do you think we should get rid of? When we say that Jesus is our Savior, that He is our healer, that He is a baptizer in the Holy Spirit with evidence with speaking in tongues, and that He is our returning King, which ones do you think of those that we should get rid of? And everyone would say, I don't think any of them should be gotten rid of, but they should be promoted and taught, and they should be preached. But that is exactly what the church has done. Think about it just for a moment. That is exactly what the church has done. Do all churches preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No. Being endued with power from on high and speaking in tongues? No. Do all preach that you can be healed? That ministry has stopped? No. Well, now we are down to 2 out of 4. I hear of churches walking away from the rapture of the church. That no longer, they're not even talking about it, and some of them don't necessarily even believe it when they come out of school of theology. Now we're down to 3 out of 4, so we only got 1 left. Now we're down to salvation. If these other 3 are not true, then what makes salvation true? You see where it all comes to place? When you say that I don't believe in the healing power of the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe that God is still healing people today, then my first question would be, then how do you know that Jesus is still saving people? That when we stand on the absolutes of God's Word that is taught to us through the Scripture, that all that Jesus began to do, and He's still doing it through the fulfilling power of the Holy Spirit and through the lives of the church, that all 4 folds of that ministry, that we can stand on it, we believe on it, we trust in it, and we're going to promote it, and we're going to believe that people are going to be healed, that they're going to be saved, that they're going to be delivered, and we're looking forward to the time that Jesus is going to catch us away. Amen? So in the world, truth has become relative. And truth has become relative in the church. Well, that's okay if you believe that, but I don't necessarily believe that. There's many ways to Jesus. There's many ways to heaven. You accept Jesus, that's fine with me. I'm going to look at rocks and I'm going to look at crystals and I'm going to believe in all those things. Because truth has become relative. And sadly to say, what you see happen on the outside of the church, eventually it will work its way on the inside of the church. Satan loves to teach that truth is relative because he does not want you standing on the truth. He does not want you standing on the Word of God. And what does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. I am the walking truth for you today because I am the living Word of God. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Now listen to these words. To bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Our thought life, our thinking needs to be submitted to the truth of God's Word. Our thoughts need to be pulled into subjection of God's absolutes. So it doesn't matter. If you're somebody that I pray for and you haven't been healed, does that mean that God's not healing anymore? I don't care if I pray for you 10,000 times. On that 10,001st time, you should still be standing there and saying, Lord, I accept your healing right now in the name of Jesus. To stand on His Word. Because many times if we don't stand on His Word, we start praying for people and we don't really think it's going to happen. We really don't think that God is going to do it. Maybe if it's God's will. It's always God's will that you be healed. It's always God's will that you be healed. I'm standing before you today, a person that's had a heart attack. I had 5 bypasses, and I have had cancer, and I don't believe I'm going to have either one again because I'm standing on God's Word. We need to stand on God's Word. Otherwise, we start ripping pages out of the Bible. If you don't believe in tongues and interpretations, that's a chapter out of the book of Acts. That's several chapters in the book of Acts. If you don't believe that God's healing people anymore, how many pages are you tearing out of the Word of God for that? I accept this, but I don't accept that. Most churches are only preaching on about 10% of the Bible. You hear prosperity preachers, oh, God loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to give you all these things. And that's what they stand on. That's what they focus on. And yes, God wants to bless you. God does love you. But there's a lot of other things that we need to be talking about that they're not talking about. That they need to be promoting. That they need to be teaching. Jesus is my Savior, my healer, my baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and He is my returning King. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Tremendous story here in Matthew 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. So Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, we're going to read verses 2 through 8. So Matthew 9, verse 2. In verse 2 of Matthew 9, it says, "Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic, laying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven.' And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemes.' But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, 'Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.' And then he said to the paralytic, 'Rise, take up your bed, and go to your house.'" There's a movie that I've watched many, many times with John Wayne. It's called Big Jake. And Big Jake is Jake McCandles. And his grandson is kidnapped. And he's not on the ranch. They have to get a hold of him. But he comes to the ranch, been told that his grandson has been kidnapped. Richard Boone from Have Gun, Will Travel stars in it, but he's a bad guy. So they're riding, getting in towards close to Mexico. Richard Boone rides into camp. And he gives Big Jake, he gives the boys hats, his hat, the boys' hat. He tells him, he says, "This is my bona fides." A word you don't hear very often. I don't even know if that's said right, but that's the way he said it. "Here's my bona fides. Here's the proof that I have your grandson." In verse 5, healing this man, Jesus is saying, "That's my bona fides." Look at verse 5. "For which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk?" I can forgive this man. If he would have just said, "Your sins are forgiven," and not healed him, they would have called him a liar and that he was a blasphemer, because they were not going to believe that he had been forgiven just on his word that he had been forgiven. But when Jesus healed this man, he says, "Now let me ask you a question. Is it easier for me to heal this man than it is to forgive this man? And because I can heal this man, I have the power to forgive this man." That is powerful. That is powerful that he would say that. Jesus proved that he had the power to save because he had the power to heal. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we go to the Great Commission. The Great Commission that's been handed off to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel, the good news, to every creature. And who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in me. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and they drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. For they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? They will recover. The church is bona fides. By signs and wonders. By signs and wonders. People see that people are being saved, that people are being healed, that people are being delivered. And what is the proof of that salvation? Because the healing and the miracles are taking place in the church. And Satan doesn't want that to happen. That you and I stand on the Word of God, believing it to be true, that He is still healing people today, that He is still delivering people today. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The signs of our bona fides. God is still in the saving business today. There's one thing I wanted to lead us to today. If you watch any NFL football, which I know some of you hate football. I understand. My wife was not real attached to it either. She always says, football again. But on the sidelines now, if somebody gets hurt or they have a concussion, they take them over, and what do? They put up a tent. They take them in there and they x-ray them and see what they are. Today, I want us to make a tent of people. A tent of believers. A tent of people trusting God. That as people walk between us, that they're going to be healed and they're going to be delivered. Amen. Through faith, there's some things I want to tell you about. I want to remind us that before the fall, there was no death. Before the original sin, there was no death. Remember, the Scripture says that Jesus came to fulfill what the first Adam couldn't. He defeated death. Also, before the fall or the original sin, there was no sickness because people were going to live forever. You know what eternity is? It's a long time. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to have any more aches or pains. You're not going to have sickness. COVID is not allowed in heaven. Amen. Brought on by Satan on this earth because he is the God of this universe, but he is not the God of heaven. It will not be allowed. He will not be allowed. No evil will be allowed. No sickness, no flu, no virus, nothing. No cancer, no heart attack. Nothing will be allowed in heaven because you are going to live for eternity. Praise God. And that's how it was supposed to be in Eden. But the fall allowed sin to enter in. And when sin entered in, death entered in. And when death entered in, sickness entered in. We live in a fallen world. We may suffer from sickness, not because of your own sin, but because of the world that we live in, that we are surrounded by sin. We have failings. We have shortcomings. You might get cancer. You might have a heart attack, not because of the sin that you committed, but a world of sin that you live in. Because you live in that world, sometimes you are affected by that world, but it doesn't mean you got to keep it. Doesn't mean it's yours forever. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to heal you. And for us to know that God wants us to have life and have life abundantly is not to live in sickness and disease, but to live in wholeness and goodness. So Satan can bring on sickness. I believe he brought on COVID. Other things can be brought on by the adversary. But God stands ready to heal. Doesn't the Word tell us that God heals? Doesn't the Word tell us that if you ask anything in God's name, it will be done? And that we're asking that in His will, His glory, His honor? That's what the Word tells us. Are we going to rip that page out of our book? Or are we going to stand on that page and say, God, you said in your Word, you're our Jehovah Rapha. I believe that you are my healer. I believe that Jesus is my healer. I believe that Jesus can heal me. I believe that Jesus can deliver me. I don't have to walk in this sickness anymore. I do not accept it in Jesus' name. So sickness, number one, can come from a world of sin. Number two, it comes from the attack of Satan. But our God is a good God. Don't attribute evilness to God. And sometimes we are easy to do that. God, why are you in this? Where are you in this? And sometimes almost we can say that God is bringing this on us. My God is a good God. Say that with me. My God is a good God. My God loves me. My God has a plan for my life. My God has a purpose for my life. My God is my healer. To be healed, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be delivered. That's what we're in the work to do. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord. Were we all in one accord? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The power of the Holy Spirit is the power that changes lives. It's not about a good sound system, even though that's important. It's not about a good worship team, even though that's important. It's not about having a church with all the bells and whistles and all the youth activities and all those different things, that even though that's very important, it's about the power of the Holy Spirit. And more than anything else, we want and desire the power of the Holy Spirit to change people's lives, because that's what will draw them into that church. Amen. Read in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.